today on Real Radio.
So many new believers every week, have you noticed? And it's so sweet because I get to tell them, listen, you don't do this now. You don't do Christianity. You surrender. You end right here. You quit right now. And you let God do it through you. You let His wind fill your sails. And He, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He'll do it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Your God Calling, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks so much for joining us today. As we get into the Word, we see that God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to Him so He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 from Isaiah chapter 6, we looked at how we're all created to be saints and how much our calling and commission from God matters. And like Isaiah, our calling was designed by God, who very much wants to use us in dynamic ways. We're not to stress over it because we feel unworthy or we think we need more knowledge or more self-esteem. God is the one who qualifies us so that He gets all the glory. Otherwise, we'd be servants to ourselves. Now in part 2, we'll take a deeper look into what it means to be called by God. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us not to worry. God will equip us to do His ministry. Our calling for our lives is given to us by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is inside us to guide us every step of the way. We were created in Christ to do good works, with Jesus knowing even before time began that we would be saved. And now continuing in his lesson called Your God Calling, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're supposed to speak out. Well, you know, that's going to create enemies. Listen. You and I, we have one friend. His name's Jesus. Okay? And we are supposed to speak into the culture when that culture rises up against God. And this is very, very serious. And listen, Isaiah did that. But he first had to get a clear vision of God. God is on His throne. God is holy. We are unholy. We need His touch. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in the triumph in Christ and though, listen, through us diffuses the fragrance of knowledge in every place, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, aroma of life leading to life." And here's the punchline. Paul says, "And who is sufficient for these things?" The answer is, it is impossible for us to do ministry because none of us are sufficient to stand and speak for Almighty God unless He puts that fire in your mouth. And He's going to put the fire in your mouth because He's got an altar opportunity on your heart. He's going to have a place in your heart. And you're going to stand there and you're going to say, "God, I believe that You're on Your throne and there's awesome seraphim in Your presence. And when they speak, the throne shakes and You are God and this world is Your footstool. And my time is limited here. And so God, I want to live for You and I want to speak for You because there's nothing else to say. It is impossible for us." This is the beautiful thing about Christianity, biblical Christianity. It's impossible to do. So many new believers every week. Have you noticed? You don't think the end is near? I say the end is near. You see people getting saved, man. They know it. They're like, "I'm done with this world." And it's so sweet because I get to tell them right up front, I get to tell them, listen, you don't do this now. You don't do Christianity. You surrender. You end right here. You quit right now. And you let God do it through you. You let His wind fill your sails, and He, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He'll do it. And that's a big deal for me to say, because I am really prone to legalism. And God has lovingly beat it into me. Jack, stop trying to improve your position with me. You can't get any more saved than what my son saved you on the day you came to me. Now get out of the way and let me live my life through you. You just stand empty and I'll take it from here. And when we relax and let God live his life through us, you guys, no matter what, it's a joy. It's impossible to live. Thirdly, look at verses 6 and 7. Your God calling comes with your equipping. He equips us. You say, well, how am I going to do this? God will do it and he'll give you the equipment. Verses 6 and 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me. Okay, that's got to freak. That's freaky. One of the seraphim flew to me. He's looking at this thing. It's not human. Having in his hand a live coal which had been taken with the tongs from the altar. This is speaking, the altar speaks of God's holiness. We don't have an idea. So the word of God speaking to us and the symbolism, though it's acted out literally, this didn't symbolically happen. It literally happened, but the symbolism, nobody gets declared holy by a hot coal being placed on your tongue. But Isaiah is in this realm of the spirit and he sees this, and the angel actually takes a coal from the altar of burning, which is white hot. Imagine taking one of your briquettes from your Weber and he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. And your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Boom. What is this a picture of? This is a picture of the offering of Christ. When does the Bible speak from Genesis to Revelation about your iniquity being taken away and your sins purged? Only once, or only one way, by the offering of the Messiah. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. All those who put their faith in Christ shall find forgiveness of sins. Listen, do you know, have you experienced, as it were, your vision of your depravity? They say, well, I've had a vision, Pastor, of your depravity. No, that doesn't count. You have to have a vision of yours. This is the awesome truth about how Jesus is your personal Savior. I'm so grateful. Now, understand, he did die for the sins of the world, but not everybody's saved, right? Think of it. Well, if he died for the sins of the world, why can't everybody be saved? Because some people are just not willing. They don't want to be saved. He paid the debt for all man's sin. But only those who trust him get the benefit from his work on the cross, you see? And in that moment of trusting Christ, it's just as true, more so now for us, right? More, there's no coal taken off the altar and placed on your tongue now. But I can say this, you can say this if you've had it happen, that it's a bigger reality. I mean, what happened to Isaiah? Good for him. But I lived 2,700 and some odd years this side of Isaiah's experience. And I'm here to report that the same God that Isaiah saw still purges mouths and tongues and hearts and gives life and takes away sins. And I am more grateful now. You say, oh, if I wish I lived back then and I could have seen that. You go ahead. I don't need that. I don't need it. And every time I sin in thought, in imagination, in anger, or whatever, the awesome truth of this forever sacrifice of Jesus's is immediately brought to my remembrance because the Lord smites my tongue, as it were. Jack, come on, man, I love you. I would sometimes feel better if he just threw me down and beat me up. And I would almost feel better if he lost control of his temper, which he can't. He kills me with kindness. Jack, I don't think like that. What are you doing thinking like that? You're my boy. Come on, man. It's like, oh, Lord. You know? He equips us, and he begins with cleansing us. A live coal, hot coal, taken from the altar of burning. I'll move on from this in a moment, but do you know what's kind of cool? You might want to mark this down if it excites you. It excited me. The angel had to use tongs. The angel had to use tongs to place it on his tongue. It's like the angel's going, man, that's hot. That is so hot. I'm not going to get near it with my hand. The angel gets these tongs and places in Isaiah's tongue. I love that. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. If you're a Christian tonight, this applies to you, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. See, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, why not? I mean this sincerely. I love you, but listen. I'm intentionally being sarcastic. I love God, but I don't know what he wants me to do. Find out. You know what that's going to require, you know? It's not easy. And it's quite a crisis to find out what God wants you to do. Because he says it numerous times. I will be found by you when you have pursued me with all of your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, all these things I will add to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. So every believer, God says, has a work that they are to be doing. Now listen, it doesn't mean that you work at Baxter or that you are an engineer or that you work for the city or that you are even, you know, a house mom or a house dad. That's not it. Those things we do, but there is a heavenly calling upon all of our lives. And it begins with us realizing God is on his throne. This is impossible, but God calls me. And if he calls me, he'll equip me. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastor teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. Why? For the work of ministry. How come? For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Just radical Christians. So that's Ephesians 4. Mark that down. Romans 12. Mark this one down. Romans 12:4 says, for as we have many members in one body, so think of this service right now. There are many members, as it were, right? But this is one service. That's how the church is. There's a couple billion people in the body of Christ, but one body. The bride of Christ, singular. Isn't that interesting? Think of it. Like your body. Your body, you're one body. You've got one body, but you're made up of a bazillion cells. And then if you want to kind of back the microscope a little further out and take a broader look, you're one body, but you got two arms. You got a mouth, you got ears, you got a nose, and you got feet. And so for what? So the whole body can be edified. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you say, oh, wow, look at that. There's a bucket of ice cream over there. And your eyes go, yes. And your mouth goes, mm. And your hands go like this. You're not going to get it. Because the body's got to come together. Your feet have got to take you there. How'd you like to be a foot for Christ? You say, well, where's my part in the body? That's for God. God, according to his own sovereign will place you in the body of Christ for the edification of both yourself and others. How's that? Imagine if we all said, that's it. No, we all want to be a mouth. Oh, how noisy and confusing. It's very important. First, Romans 12:4. But all the members do not have the same function. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing. That's a key to a church, by the way. A lot of people start churches, but they don't make it. Why? Because God didn't start it. How do you know if God starts a local church? Because the members will be gifted in certain areas to cause that to coalesce, to cause it to happen. No man makes it happen. Listen, if a man or a few people get together and try to pull off a church, it won't last. It might last a year. It could last 6 years. It could last 6 months. It could even be called a movement. But if it's based on a man, it won't succeed. How do you know if you're involved in a work of God? Because God will bring people around that body of believers, elbows, fingers, mouths, ears, feet. Does it make sense? If you're involved in a church and you've got to push and push and strain and wonder why it's not working and how come, and let's go to this church growth seminar and see what we can learn to see how we can forget it. That's the work of the flesh. God's not in it. He'll do it. Listen, I mean this with all my heart. When God is doing something, the people who are most involved in a church should sit there with their jaws hanging open and say, how's this happening? I'm here to tell you, I'm telling you right now, 25 years we've been doing this and our board meetings are a blast. You wanna know why? We go, how does this happen? Look at this, what happened here? Oh my goodness, really that? Oh my goodness, it's a shocker. And it's funny because I'll get phone calls, I'll get invited places. Will you come and speak on how to grow a church? Nope. I don't know how. Pray, Bible. It's up to God what he wants to do. How do you explain this? Spurgeon had 14,000 people in his church. He had 10,000. They had to build him a 10,000 seat church. He'd only been saved for 5 years. Less than that. He was 19 years old when they had to build a 10,000 seat auditorium for him. And then there's guys like A.W. Tozer, giants in the faith. He never had more than 150 people in his church. You think God cares about the numbers? Listen, Tozer's church reached Chicago. Spurgeon reached the world. God is not going to turn to Tozer and say, Tozer, dude, I love you, man, but why weren't you more like Spurgeon? No. Listen, it's possible that God could say to Spurgeon, man, I gave you a bunch of opportunities. You only reached 100 million people in your lifetime. I was trying to get you to reach a bazillion million. And then he turns to Tozer and says, you reached 150? I called you to reach 150. Well done. Do you know what I'm saying? We're bad that way. Ooh, look at that. Oh my. That's successful. You don't know if it's successful. We don't know. Unless we're biblically based, God will give us indicators along the way. But the final day will be when we stand before the Lord. And he's going to say, okay, here's the deal. And he's going to unfurl the work that before you were ever born, he ordained you to do, to walk in that work. That's your goal in life, is to find out what you're supposed to do for the Lord. Because you get to. Not because you have to. Because you get to. It's a big difference. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it. In the ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. And listen to the gifts of the Spirit. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Next verse, write it down in your margins. How do you know what you're supposed to do? 1 Corinthians 12:1. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Why did Paul say that? Because most people are ignorant about their spiritual gifts. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but it's the same Lord. There are diversities of activities. This is awesome because you can have four different churches on the same intersection. If they're teaching the Word of God, they're all going to be filled according to God's order. Have you noticed that? On a Friday night, you can't get into In-N-Out. You can't get into The Habit. You can't get into P.F. Chang's. And you can't get into Colonel Sanders. Why? Because everybody's getting fed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, why can't we just have one big church and it seats like 100 million people? That would be insane. Thank God that God is using Pastor David at Chino Valley and that church is growing strong and healthy and you've got Greg Laurie down the road and God is blessing. Think of that for a moment. God is blessing churches throughout this community. Thank God. I heard there's 68 churches in our city. We need 68 more. Think about that. What if God moved in our community? And the churches, by the way, call me nutty, but I think that's going to happen. I think the world's going to go nuts as it is nuts. It's going to go really nuts. And I think people are going to go off the deep end, but the ones that are still breathing are going to try to find God. And we're going to have to blow these walls out because people are going to need Jesus. Okay? You say, well, what makes you so confident? Nothing but the word. If we are faithful to the word, God will see to it that his sheep get fed. Okay? And he'll equip. And look, your homework is to finish 1 Corinthians 12 because we're running out of time. I'm not going to read the rest of it. Number four, write it down. Number four, your God calling, it will result in your commissioning. I love this. Your commissioning. What does that mean? That means at some point in time, God is going to interrupt your life and he's going to say, stand up. I've got something for you to do. And I want all of you to hear this. If you tonight cannot say that this is what God has you doing, then you need to get excited because he's going to want to speak to you and he's going to tell you something. And here's the cool thing. In light of all that we're talking about, it's going to come from the altar. You're going to be incredibly overwhelmed with your inability because of your sinfulness and your disgust. And then he's going to turn to you and say, I've purged you, remember? I want to use you. And here's what's going to happen. It's going to be impossible for you to do. And so, stand up, Isaiah. I got something to send you to. If what I'm saying is not true, I'd quit right now today. I'm telling you right now, this is true. I cannot speak for you. I can only speak for me. God does this. And I'm a nobody. He's not a respecter of persons. He wants to do this in your life. He wants you to go back to your company. He wants you to go back to your neighborhood. He wants you to go back to your world and shake it up.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Your God Calling, Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to join us today for this lesson. And our hope is that you know Christ as your Savior and that you've come to know his purpose in your life. Your God Calling, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of us really love a good book, especially one that can help guide us through some of the tougher issues in life, or one that can teach us more about what the Bible has to say about living life God's way. But with so much out there, it's hard to choose the right book. And what if the author really hasn't done their homework on what they're writing about? Bestsellers are not always what's best for us. That's why Pastor Jack personally handpicks what he offers as the book of the month. Each month, there's a new title available for purchase, which is great because it takes the guesswork out of what you should read next. And if you'd like to get a devotional to read so you can start your day the right way, Pastor Jack has devotionals already set up for you at the website. There's a new one each week, and it also includes his previous weekly devotions. So there's enough to read one daily if you like. You can also sign up for Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you give us your email address. So once again, the Book of the Month and Pastor Jack's devotions are both available at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.